Title: Building Reload Effects from Existing Stems Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on building reload effects from your existing stems, the stuff you already wrote. Your drums, bass, music layers, vocals, FX. The goal is to create that proper drum and bass reload moment, the pullback, the rewind, the pitch dive, the silence, and then the drop comes back in like a weapon. And we're doing it stock only. No third-party plugins. The bigger idea here is workflow. Fast to audition, clean to arrange, and flexible enough to go from classic jungle rewinds to modern tight, rolling DNB tape stop and slam moments. First, let's set expectations. A believable reload is less about stacking 10 effects, and more about committing to audio and editing like a DJ. Tiny decisions, like exactly where the silence gap is, or whether your first transient back and lands perfectly on grid, those are what make it feel real. Session prep first, because if you set this up right once, you can reuse it forever. Start by grouping your stems. Make a drums group, a bass group, a music group, and vocals or FX if you've got them. Even if you normally don't group, do it here, because reload designing is basically how fast can I audition different combinations of my mix. Now create a dedicated audio track called Reload Print. Set audio from to resampling. Set monitor to off. The idea is, whenever you have a reload idea, you arm this track, record a pass, and you've got real audio to chop and sculpt. This is how you get reloads that sound like your track, not like a generic effect. One more critical thing, warp sanity. If your stems aren't consistently warped, the reload will feel sloppy. For drums, beats mode is usually your friend, preserving transients. For music and bass, complex or complex pro if you want it smoother. And if you actually want artifacts, because darker DNB loves a little chaos, try tones or texture intentionally. But do it on purpose. Not by accident. Now let's build reloads. Method 1 is the classic. Resample the section, then construct the rewind with editing. This is the most controllable and the most authentic. Pick your reload point first, usually right before a drop or a big switch. Decide how long the reload moment is. Classic jungle might be 1 bar or 2 bars. Modern rolling DNB often works better with a half bar or 1 bar, because you don't want to kill the forward momentum. Now print the audio. Solo the full mix, or choose which stem groups you want included. Arm reload print. Record 1 to 4 bars leading into the reload point. Give yourself pre-roll so you have extra material to work with. Then consolidate the recording into one clean clip, so you're editing one solid piece of audio, not a bunch of fragments. Now you're going to build the rewind gesture. Two practical approaches. Option A is the reliable one. Reverse plus accelerating cuts. Duplicate the printed clip onto an edit lane. Call it reload edit. In the final bar before the drop, start splitting it into chunks. Bigger chunks at first, then smaller chunks as you approach the end, quarter notes, then eighths, then sixteenths. That gives the illusion that the rewind is spinning faster and faster. Then reverse the slices you want. Not necessarily all of them, but enough that the ear hears backwards motion. And add short fades between slices. If you don't, you'll get clicks. And clicks are the kind of amateur giveaway that ruins the illusion immediately. Option B is the fiddly one. A warp marker style ramp. You can do it, and it can sound wild, especially with texture mode, but it's more time. If you go this route, think of it as, reverse the clip, then use warp markers to force it onto the grid in a way that feels like acceleration. It's not truly rewinding time, it's creating the perception of it. Either way, once you have motion, you're going to add the signature DNB shaping, filter down, pitch down, and grit. On reload edit, build a simple stock device chain. Start with auto filter in low pass 24 mode. You're going to automate that cutoff downward so the rewind eats the highs. Start maybe around 12 to 16k and pull it down toward a few hundred hertz by the end. Add a bit of resonance so it speaks, but don't whistle. Then, optionally, add redux if you want jungle crunch. Keep it controlled. You don't need to destroy it. After that, add saturator with soft clip on. Drive it until it feels urgent, but listen for harshness. If it gets brittle, you can always tame it after with EQ later. Add reverb, but keep it dark. High cut the reverb so it doesn't get splashy. And keep the wet amount reasonable. Reload reverb is meant to feel like space collapsing, not like you teleported into a cathedral. Then utility at the end for cleanup and control. If the low end is getting messy, this is a good spot to keep bass mono. Also, this is where you can do small level moves, like the suck down then slam effect. Now the pitch move. This is huge. Use clip transpose automation on the audio clip. Start at zero semitones, and dive down to minus 12 or even minus 24 by the end of the reload. And here's a really musical trick. Right before the cut, bounce it back slightly, like minus 12 up to minus 7 for a split second. That little rebound sells the DJ hand story. Speaking of the DJ hand story, keep this mental model while you edit, because it keeps you from making random effect soup. A good reload usually has three acts. Act 1. The hand grabs it. That's a quick clamp. A small filter move and a tiny level dip, like the system is being grabbed. Act 2. Pull back. That's your reverse motion, acceleration, pitch movement, maybe some controlled distortion. Act 3. Let go. And this one is the most overlooked. You need a silence gap, even a short one. An eighth note, a quarter beat, sometimes even less. That gap creates contrast so the return feels violent. Now, before we build the return, a quick advanced cleanup note. Pre-ring control. If you have reverb or delay, sometimes you'll hear a smear before the reload even starts. That makes the reload feel accidental. Fix it by printing the reload effects and then doing a tiny fade-in on the printed clip, like 2 to 20 milliseconds, or gate the start. The point is, the reload should begin on purpose. Also, low-end hygiene. Reload tails can mess with the drop sub and cause phase weirdness or just mud. A phase-aware workflow is simple. High-pass the reload print somewhere around 90 to 160 Hz. And if you want low-end in the reload moment, don't rely on the messy tail of your mix. Design a separate sub-drop that's mono and predictable. That way the drop sub comes back clean and owns the low-end again. Now method 2, the modern take-stop reload. This is faster and works great on rolling DNB when you want tension without a complicated edit. Duplicate the last half bar before the drop onto its own audio track. Call it tape stop. Put frequency shifter on it. Make sure you're not doing ring mod. You're using the shift value. Automate shift from 0 down to something like minus 400 to minus 1200 Hz over that half bar. Lower values are subtle. More negative values get dramatic and wobbly. Then add auto filter again, low pass 24, automate down. Add saturator for urgency. If you want, you can layer a little noise ramp under it, but keep it controlled. And here's the big tip with tape stop style reloads. Print the result. Commit it to auto. These effects often sound best once they're frozen into a clip and you can nudge timing, add fades, and make it feel like a performance rather than an automation exercise. Alright, now the re-entry. This is where most reloads fail. People build a cool rewind, and then the return is just the drop. But in DNB, the return is a designed event. Build a return impact stack with three layers. Layer 1. Sub drop. Use a short sign. Operator is perfect. Give it a quick decay, like 200 to 600 milliseconds. You can add a slight pitch envelope downward. Keep the fundamental controlled, usually somewhere around 40 to 55 Hz depending on your key and the vibe. Layer 2. Transient hit. This is the weapon click, a tight snare or kick transient, or a Foley hit. Put drum bus on it, add drive, add a bit of crunch, and push the transient so it reads on small speakers. Layer 3. Reverse crash. Reverse a crash or ride tail into the drop. A classic move is, reverb the crash, resample it, then reverse it. That gives you a smooth, cinematic pull into the hit. Group those three into a reload impact bus. Put glue compressor on the group. Just a couple dB of gain reduction, fast attack, and a release that feels musical. Then a limiter just catching peaks. You're not trying to make it loud, you're trying to make it consistent and confident. Now, if your reload tail overlaps into the drop, sidechain it out of the way. Put a compressor on the reload FX group, sidechain from the kick in the drop, fast attack, medium release, and duck a few dB. The drop should breathe like it owns the room. Now some arrangement patterns that feel like real DNB. A one-bar reload before drop one is a classic crowd moment. A half-bar micro reload before a bass switch is modern and tight. A two-bar rewind before a VIP is a statement. And there is also the fake reload. Do the ramp and filter like you're about to rewind, but don't fully do it. Then drop anyway. That tease can be nasty. Here's an energy trick. Often the strongest reload is when the drums disappear first. Let the drums drop out. Leave a pitch down smear of music or vocal tail. Then everything snaps back. The ear interprets that as the groove falling apart and reassembling, which feels more human. Let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid them. If the reload is too long, you kill momentum, especially in rolling DNB. Start with half a bar or one bar and earn the longer ones only, when the arrangement really needs a big moment. If there's no silence before the drop, the return won't feel like impact. Even a tiny gap changes everything. If there's too much sub in the reload tail, You muddy the drop, high pass the reload effects, and if you want low-end drama, use a separate sub-drop. If your reverb is too bright, it becomes harsh wash. High cut the reverb, keep it dark, and if your stems aren't warped cleanly, your reload timing will feel drunk. Tight grid, intentional warp mode choices. Now let's add a few advanced variations you can use when you want your reload to feel custom, not templated. Try a two-stage reload. Do a micro pullback, like an eighth note, that almost returns and then immediately go into the reel rewind. It sells that TJTs. Try staggered stem rewind. Print drums separately and bass or music separately. Start the drums rewinding earlier, and let the bass hang for an extra eighth note before it joins. That controlled falling apart feels super believable. Try a stop and catch. Freeze a tiny chunk, like 30 to 80 milliseconds, repeat it a few times with fades, then do a short reverse throw, then hard cut into the drop. It's aggressive and modern. Try mid-side reload. Widen the reload smear, but then right before the drop, slam it to mono for an eighth beat, and then bring the width back on the drop. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger without even changing the level. And if your rewind motion isn't reading clearly, because your stem print is too dense, add a tiny rewind tick layer. A click or vinyl tick that speeds up with your slice rhythm. Keep it quiet, low pass it if it gets brittle, but it gives the ear a clear motion cue. One last pro move. Pick a hero transient on the return. Decide what is the first thing the listener should perceive when the drop restarts. Is it kick on one? Is it snare on two? Is it a bass stab? Then edit your silence gap so that hero transient lands exactly on grid. Dead accurate. And if you want extra punch, let everything else come in 10 to 30 milliseconds later. That tiny stagger can make the return smack without extra limiting. Now a mini practice exercise to lock this in. This audio version is shortened for playback.